thank you, everybody. All right. Before we get started today, I just want, I did a baptism yesterday. They're in Georgia, and I'm in California, so you know we did, what do you guys call it? Yeah, we Zoomed it. But I've been baptizing people all over. You know, I don't have to be in Florida to baptize somebody in Florida. God has blessed us to be able to be a blessing in people's lives. And so we did a baptism the other day. And let me tell you, Charlotte Lewis got baptized. Cash Lewis got baptized. Melinda Holloway. Is it Holloway or Holloway's?
Holloway,
yeah, okay. You got to take the S off on this. Just on this.
You got okay.
Not on the baptism. Okay, Melinda Holloway got baptized, and her big old muscular husband Jason Holloway got baptized. So, I've been looking for a workout partner. This guy's in Georgia.
Did you open the envelope? The picture in there.
Oh, whose picture's in?
What's your name on?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I got it. I got him right here. Yeah, I don't know if he want me to show him sitting there getting ready to be baptized, but that's the big guy. Don't show him too close. All the pictures didn't show out because I'm there with my camera. I'm sitting in the backyard, and this is Melinda. She's getting ready in the water. She looked up at me. She looked scared, so I took a picture of her. But she's all right. This big guy right here is Cash. He's big enough to play football. But he's very much into academics. Where's our big guy at? Where's your son? Where's your son? Is he in the room there, Robert? Okay, yeah, this big guy here is like a real big dude, and I thought he played football. He's like, no, he's into academics. He wants to go to law school, you know. Yeah, so I'm like, hey, forget football.
Amen.
Sports only last a life, a short while, but education is a lifetime, right?
Yeah.
Amen. So anyway, here's my sorry picture. I tried to take of them. They were all, I'd have cut everybody off. So sorry about that, you guys, but the baptism certificate's on the way. Pastor Ben has already prepared them. I won't have to take them out, but we will have them in the mail to you when?
Tomorrow.
Praise God. So let me put that aside. And now we're going to get to the Bible study. And I want to talk about what happened in Israel on the 9th of Av.
Uh-oh.
Huh?
Uh-oh.
Are they is God just consistent or is he consistent?
Extremely consistent.
So, you know, they were preparing for it all week. But for it to escalate till its full point, it happens on the 9th of Av, you know? So I'm like, you know, God is showing you once again, when the 9th of Av comes around, heaven knows it's the 9th of Av, okay? And so all the bombing and arrest and attacks were happening, and they're shooting rockets over to Israel, and the drone is intercepting the missiles, and the whole thing happens when? On the same day that both temples were destroyed, the same day Hitler becomes count. The 9th of Av is just, you can just mark it and say, oh, Israel need to pray because the 9th of Av is coming. So it happened once again, just like last year. It happened right on the 9th of Av. So we just need to know and understand that God is God and his word is still happening and his word will continue to happen until the trumpet blows and you're out of here. And then the people who are not out of here will say, I should have listened. Isn't that what people say? Something told me they was right. Holy Spirit's telling you they're right. So, continuing on in that pattern, I was on Wednesday night trying to show you the precision of our enemy, of how they hate human beings and how they'll kill human beings without mercy, and how they will plan it like a 9/11 or the bombings that happened 911 days after 9/11. The Missy Elliott video, how they planned 130 murders and put it in a video first. How Lil Wayne planned 12 murders and put it in a video and then released it and then let you know we planned this. You understand? And so I don't like when born again, Bible believing Christians don't understand that you have an enemy, okay? You have an enemy that wants to ruin your life, okay? He wants to ruin your life. I've had a couple times, two times in my life, that Satan really wanted to ruin my life, and he was trying to give me an opportunity. And I was playing football, and I had some money, and a guy said, hey, you know, we grew up together, and you know, I could get out of this hole. If you give me this amount of money, I could buy a key, and then I could sell it, and then I'll return your money to you within less than a month. And he said, you'll be helping somebody out that you grew up with. And I said, well, I'm gonna be helping you out, but what if somebody's mother get hooked on crack, and then she loses her kids? I just helped you ruin a whole family, right? So I said, I ain't giving you no money for no drugs, you crazy. So anyway, him and his nephew went and they got the money from somewhere. They went to go pick up the drugs. They took the money from them and killed them both. And I'm like, okay, the next morning, this is what I wake up to. I'm like, whoo, Satan, you missed that one, right? And because, you know, they wanted me like, oh, you can go with us to pick it up. And I'm like, nah, bruh, I'm not dealing with that, none of that. But that was an opportunity. You understand? Because at the time I had some mental sense that I knew that God existed and I was a Christian. I didn't take that opportunity. You understand? And so you have to realize there are many opportunities in life that Satan is going to try an alternate plan, a route to ruin your life. You understand? May come in the form of a new person that claims that they care about you and they just really, really, but you know that the Holy Spirit is telling you something ain't right, okay? Someone came up with this idea, he was gonna buy printing machines and he was gonna make counterfeit. And I had the money, and he said, you can help me buy the printing machine and I'll counterfeit the money and then we'll do this. And then he said, by the time, a few months, you'll be rich, right? And so, you know, when you're playing football, you got a little money, people come with investment opportunities, right? It's stupid. So I'm watching TV that night, and I saw this football player, his dad had got arrested for counterfeiting, and he was doing 20 years for counterfeiting. So I immediately called a guy and said, I'm out of that deal too, right? But that was just Satan, another opportunity, like, let me get involved, let me see how much he loves money, and maybe I can move in this way, right? So it doesn't matter how it happens, Satan wants to interfere in your life and try to get you off balance and away from God, okay? Your job is to keep your eyes open, watch, and pray, okay? God did not make us dumb.
Amen.
We might be gullible, but we ain't dumb. You understand? And there's a big difference between gullible and being dumb, okay? So God did not make us dumb. He made us very intelligent people. And if people explain things to you, you will understand it on a high intelligence way. You understand? Yeah. So understand and know that. I always want to show that God wrote the Bible. And you guys have to know and understand something. The Bible, both the Old Testament and the New Testament, are both written in alphanumeric languages. That means both the Hebrew and the Greek, the letters are numbers. You know, numbers didn't come till quite some time after the Bible, you understand? Or after they had written in Hebrew and Greek. Numbers didn't come for quite some time after that. So adding 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, that's something that was foreign to the Hebrew and the Greek because the letters were the numbers, you understand? So that means if you look at the Bible, both Old Testament and New Testament, and you converted all those letters into numbers, you would have the biggest numerical document that you've ever seen, right? It's all numbers. So God wants you to know that not only did he do this, but he did it so that he could show you that there's someone outside of your zone that's writing the book, okay? So that you can see the hand of God written in the pages. So look at the first page of your notes today, okay? And I put it up here on the board, so if Pastor Ben wants to show it, he can. But if you see that this name up here, this is in Greek, Jesus Christ, okay? Now, if I read, let's see here, 19 verse 26, and I'll start at 25. It says, now there stood by the cross Jesus, his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, Mary Magdalene. And it says, and when Jesus saw his mother and the disciples whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Now, when they wrote that in Greek, it has the same numerical value as Jesus Christ. They're both 2,368. So when Jesus says it, when you write it in Greek, it's the same numerical value as Jesus Christ. So was it important to Jesus while he's on the cross to make sure he get the numbers right? So when he says to his mother, behold your son, he's actually saying Jesus Christ in numerical value. Was that important to God?
Yes,
yes it was. You know why? Because you need to know that God wrote your Bible. You need to know that this isn't some religious book. You understand? It's outside of your zone. Like heaven is outside of your zone. Like real life is outside of your zone right now. You understand?
Amen.
You haven't been there, you haven't experienced it, so you don't know what real life is yet.
Right.
You know the test, and we're here. And so you're going to experience. I'm going to say this, and I'll keep saying it, because I'm always hoping people will listen to me. I love when people say, oh, I sent your stuff to someone else because they need to start hearing you. I say, you're absolutely right. That's not being arrogant. That's knowing that God called me.
Yeah.
And I, you know, all the time I say, God, I wish we could have recorded that so then I could have proof. But that's not what God did. He didn't do it for Moses. He didn't do it for anybody, right? He just does it, and you know, and God knows I sent you, okay? And now I'm saying this because I'm trying to explain to people reality, not religion. I'm trying to explain to you reality. The reality is God has a plan for mankind, and he created all of us and the world we live in.
Yeah.
That's the reality. God has one way for all of humanity to get saved out of this reality. And that one way is Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Okay? If anyone comes to you preaching to you another Christ, let them be cursed and they will end up in hell, because there's only one way to salvation, and that's through Jesus Christ.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Go over to the next page. I believe we're on the next page. We should be by now. Oh, not yet. We're not ready for that yet. We're not ready for that. There was one other thing that the Lord wanted me to show you. Okay, yeah, this is it. Okay. A guy sent me an invite on Facebook. He's a pastor. He sent me I go on Facebook. I think we should get together, blah, blah, blah. Nah. Okay. He sends me a picture with him standing next to his Lamborghini with gold chains on and all this. Church International or something. So I wrote him a letter. I told him a note. I said, I'm sorry, I don't associate with demons. I said, you enjoy your luxurious gifts from Satan that your lies have produced, but I don't associate with demons. So I'm sorry, I'm not taking your friendship. People don't understand reality. He probably thinks that is his blessing for preaching lies. And we have to know and understand something. The reality of God is going to be real to each and every one of us as soon as you leave this flesh. As soon as you leave this flesh, reality will sink in. Whether you're in heaven or you're in hell, you will know what reality is because you'll be face to face with it. You understand? So I tell people, God called me to do this, to help people with the word of God so that they understand truth. You understand? So in I got this thing. I can't remember who sent it to me. But it's Luke chapter 10, verse 1. If you can't go there real fast, I want you to look at this. And then you tell me. Pastor Ben sent it to me. That was it. It was the introduction to the Commonwealth track games that are going on. And they were doing a celebration of the 72 stars. And then they showed in the video the 72 stars falling out of heaven to the earth. And then the girl prays to one of the stars and puts it in a box so that she can go and compete and win. Okay? Now, Pastor Ben sent it to me and it was a complete satanic worship. But people would not know it because if nobody tells you, you won't know what they're trying to put forth. Okay? Now, I'm going to read in my... If your Bible says, it's Luke 10, 1, it says, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them out two by two. Now, if your Bible says 72, let me know. Does your Bible say 72? If your Bible says 72, it's because Lucius Trust Company printed 72. He sent out 72 instead of 70. Why 72? Because there are 72 fallen angels with demonic names and titles to do things in the earth. But only Freemasons know about the 72 that have fallen. If you go inside the Capitol building and you look up, they got a picture of 72 gods with 72 stars around it in the Capitol building. Yeah, because the Freemasons know that 72 fallen angels fell, and these 72 angels have fallen angels, which are demons, have different assignments, okay? So if your Bible says 72, it's because Lucius Printing and Trust Company printed that Bible and changed it from 70 to 72. But if you read it in the original Greek, it always says 70. Okay? So when they're doing this commercial, you sent it to me, Pastor Ben, and the 72 stars are falling out of heaven, and it says to change the world forever and bring the world back to its reality. I'm like, they're doing a satanic ritual right here for the Commonwealth game, and nobody knows it, but if you're watching, so God called me to say, look, it's time to stop playing church, okay? Amen. It's time to stop playing church and see what your enemy's doing, amen. Okay? It's time to stop playing church and listening to your favorite pastor who you have no clue what he's talking about. Some guy trying, well, you should listen to Creflo Dollar. I said, man, I wouldn't listen to Creflo Dollar if you paid me. What are you talking about? I thought the world was past that. So you got to know and understand. Now, this pastor comes on Saturday and he's preaching. Okay, no, you didn't send me this one, Pastor Ben. He's preaching the reason why the black church don't have any leaders. He's a black dude. He says, because every time one of us pastors fall into mess, instead of praying for us, y'all talk about us. And he said, but when y'all fall into mess, we pray for you. And he says, but when a pastor falls into mess, you immediately say, we can't preach no more. You immediately say, we're unusable. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, dude, you just setting up for your next sin.
Hello.
Because if you're a pastor and you fall into something, you should stop preaching. There's obviously something's wrong.
Right.
Okay.
Ma'am.
You're unbalanced.
Yeah.
Ma'am. Okay. So we have to know and understand, look, know your Bible. You cannot know your Bible if your Bible is not interesting to you enough to read it and to study it and to at least know what it says concerning different matters. If you don't know, find someone and ask them, is this what this talking about?
Amen.
Because you want to know the truth. Someone asked in the question, Pastor Sandy, when is the wealth of the world going to be transferred to the Christians? Is this going to happen before the rapture? Now, if you know truth, you know, oh, she's talking about Seven Mountains Theory. Okay? She's talking about a whole religion that says that the church needs to be operating by supernatural powers so that you can come in and they can do kundalini spirit stuff on you. And you think, oh, I fell out because the Holy Spirit. You don't know that. You don't know them well enough to know that you fell out under the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus never made anybody fall down. Okay? So, unless that when they asked him, are you Christ? And he says, I am. And then they fell back, but it wasn't to heal them.
Right.
He wasn't praying for them. He was letting them know who he was.
Right.
But we have to know and understand that people are into putting on shows, because by putting on shows, you can get people to give. And then by getting people to give, you can get a Lamborghini and go on Facebook and try to get Pastor Sandy to be your friend like some nut. So this leads me to the scripture that I'm going to be reading today. And the scripture is in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 10. Let's go to Isaiah 28. The people who are in the worst trouble right now are the Jewish nation. You know why? Because their whole nation as a whole don't want Jesus. You might find a couple little scattered churches that Jews for Jesus, but they are hated there.
Yeah.
When Pastor James was over there, he's out there preaching. Police came up to him. I thought, Pastor James, they about to check Pastor James. They said, man, you being a little loud. They said, you being a little loud. We've had a couple of terrorist attacks this week. And we know you here trying, you know, you're from America. You're talking this Jesus stuff. But we need you to hold it down a little bit, right? But you don't understand that in Israel, if you're talking and preaching Jesus on the corner and somebody spits on you, they do nothing to them. They just go, well, you're out there talking about Jesus, good for you, basically. Okay, when the guys are trying to, when the Orthodox Jews were trying to burn down the church while these Messianic Christians were inside worshiping and they tried to burn it down, they didn't arrest them for trying to burn down the church while they were in there. They just stopped them and told them to get away from here. I'm like, dude. So understand and know this, they're under a lie. Israel is not the only place that's under a lie. Christianity worldwide is under a lie. You understand? The lie is not in the Bible. The lie is in being gullible.
Yes, yes.
The lie is in saying, I'm going to believe what you say without studying it for myself. I could have said that thing about Missy Elliott, but I'd never prove it to you. And you go, well, he said something, but I don't know if it's true or not. I brought you the paper, right? Because I want you to see that it's true. You understand? If I give you a scripture, I want you to know that it's true, because we're going to go through it. How are we going to go through it? This is the way. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 28. And we're going to, let's begin at verse 10. It says, precept must be upon precept. Okay? Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. Here a little, there a little. This is how you get to truth. Every scripture is solidified by another scripture. Every concept, precept, is solidified by another concept or precept. You understand? So the scripture is telling you whether it's true or not. Because if someone says, hey, once you're saved, you're always saved, you say, well, I need three scriptures that support that. If you can't show me three scriptures that support that, then I can't believe it. But if I tell you, once you get saved, you need to live this thing out, show me three scriptures that support that, right?
Yeah. Wow.
And that's what I'm saying. The scriptures have to be concept, line upon line, precept upon precept. But this is the problem. Hakol Havarim be Israel. All of them are in Israel, and they have rabbis that they've trusted since they were children. And the rabbis, here, this is what the Bible says about this. Let's continue reading. It says, line upon line, here a little, there a little. For with stammering lips, another tongue, he will speak to the people, to whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear, but the word of the Lord was to them. Now it's in quotes, because he's saying, these rabbis are pretentious with the word. You say line upon line, precept upon precept. It says, but they're saying, but they're not in agreement with that. They take line upon line, precepts upon precepts, and come up with their own truth, and they teach that to the people. You understand? Like Creflo saying, the church is not the body of Christ. The church is not the bride of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. It's not the bride. So you go, oh, well, that means there's not going to be a rapture. Or he says, you are a little god. You are gods. And you go, well, is that what Jesus meant when he said we are gods? Or did he mean that we are going to be a part of the family of God if we accept Christ and live this thing out? In heaven, we will be a part of the family of God, and therefore we will be born into the family of God. But he never said, you are a God.
Right.
You ain't created nothing.
Right.
Create a sun. If you're a God, create a sun. Put it in the sky. Make it rotate. Because you're not. Okay? But you can become the children of God and the sons of God if you live this thing out. And now by living it out, you're going to be able to be birthed into true life. You're in a fake life now.
Yeah.
The guy with a Lamborghini, he has no idea when he dies that he's not going to be able to pack that up. No idea. He thinks he's living his best life now, right? You don't get to keep anything. Know what that means to me? That means this life is fake. Because you can play Monopoly and be rich.
That's true.
And when the game's over, they take it all back, put it in a box, fold it up, and you go home with nothing. So therefore, you guys have to know the truth of the reality of this life is for you to connect with God.
Yes.
So that you can experience real life after your video game life is over with.
Thank you. Thank you. Amen.
Okay. I'm going to finish reading this because we need to. Okay. It says here, for with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to the people to whom he said, this is rest. And he says, you may cause the weary to rest. This is refreshing. Yet they say, but the word of the Lord was to them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, meaning that they're making fun of the word of God. He says, that they might go and fall backwards and be broken and a snare and caught. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men who rule the people who are in Jerusalem. He's talking to the rabbis, because you have said, we have made a covenant with death. The covenant is death. We will not believe in Jesus no matter what you say. They have made a covenant with death. It says, and with Sheol, hell, we are in agreement. He says, this is what's in the heart of their leaders. When the overflowing scourge passes through, it will not come to us. That's what they said. When the overflowing scourge passes through, it will not come to us. What's the scourge that's coming? Tribulation. They're saying when tribulation comes, it won't hurt us. Because it says, they said, we're the people of God. And the rabbis are telling them, we're God's chosen people. You don't need Jesus, neither do we. And anybody trying to preach Jesus is trying to preach to you a religion that hates the Jewish people. You can't even remain a Jew if you become a Christian. So they're preaching to them from a childhood. You don't need salvation. Now I understand this, that they are living out prophecy and that God, but God has not said that if you're Jewish, you can't believe in Jesus.
Amen.
A matter of fact, 3,000 Jews believed in Jesus in the book of Acts on Pentecost. Okay? And there have been many Jews that have believed in Jesus since then. Okay? So if you're Jewish and you're in Israel and are Bay Yehudim, Bay Israel, they listen to us. Many Jews in Israel, they listen to us because I get their notes. And they're telling us, look, we have a hard time here. It's hard being a Christian in Israel. If I send them a message, you know, I have to send it on the instant and the inside message. I can't post it on their page because they could get in trouble. They could lose their job. So understand this. This world and this nation is in trouble. But look what happened on the 9th of Av. Very consistent with history. Since when? Since the time they came, since the time the 10 witnesses came back, since that time the 9th of Av been cursed. And here we are thousands of years later, and on the 9th of Av, they're still receiving a curse.
That's deep.
And here you are, with Jesus on the cross, and he says, woman, behold thy son. It's the same numerical value. He says, you've rejected the rock who saved you. Israel, you've rejected the rock. 296 times 3, 888, which is the number of Jesus in Greek. So, and then last week, what did we go over? All of the codes, the Bible codes. The name of Mary and all 12, and 8 of the 12 apostles are in the book of Isaiah. And Yakov Ramzu showed it to him. And what did they say? Jesus is not for us. That's a blinder that's on the nation of Israel that we need to be praying for. This, and look, we say, well, the poor Jews. There's poor Americans too. There's poor Gentiles. You know why? Because Facebook has introduced to you 1,000 new pastors. And you believe them all. You listen to all of them. And you ask questions about all of them. And if they say this is how it goes, you say yes. And you have a Bible right next to you. And you're listening to someone tell you something. and the Holy Spirit's inside of you telling you that ain't right.
Amen. Amen.
So you should go and check. Or you should ask somebody. If you have a pastor, ask your pastor.
Amen.
I love when people get a hold of me and they say, Pastor, I was listening to this. Something didn't sound right. I say, good, because it ain't right. Okay? This one lady, she's on her video, she's praying with a rosary beads, and she's talking about God gave her a prophetic message about the rebirth of America. I said, thanks for sending it to me, but first of all, she's praying with rosary beads. That should be, the Holy Spirit probably hit you right there, right? So we got to know and understand. It's not someone else's responsibility for you to watch and pray. That is a commandment to each and every one of us, okay?
Amen.
Let me make sure that I... Well, let's go past this. Now I need to go to... Because I'm trying to explain to you guys. Now watch this. This is where I become the crazy pastor. I don't believe you will make it to past September if you're a Christian and still be here on the earth.
Amen.
That's what I believe. I believe you will not go past Rosh Hashanah, which is September 27th, and still be on this earth. Because the Bible has prophesied that you are living in the very last days. Now, you're not living in the last day. You're living in the very last day. Okay? And so I believe that there's a rapture and a tribulation that's about to start in the earth.
Yeah.
And I believe that people need to understand and know this so that they can prepare themselves and their relationship with Jesus Christ and stop chasing after your video game life.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Because you can't take none of your video game life with you.
Amen. So true.
The same
thing. Amen. Hey, now I want us to go to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 32. We've explained it before. The Torah, the 5,708th verse of the Torah said that Israel would receive their land back. 5708 is the same as 1948. In that year, they received their land back. So Deuteronomy is following a calendar year by year event of what's going to happen. 19 years after 5708 would be 1967. And in that verse, which is 5727, says that Israel will fight a war, but they will get, God will fight the war for them and give them back the land that was taken from them. And Israel fought a war in 1967, and they won back the land that was taken from them, the exact land that's described in the scripture. So Deuteronomy is following year by year by year what's about to happen, okay? To the point where you can look at the Holocaust in it, you can look at all the events that are happening in the world in the book of Deuteronomy. You get to Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 29, and it's for the year from September 2021 to September 2022. It's for the year 5782. So if you're in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 29, it says, oh, that they were wise, or if only they were smart, right? Oh, if they were wise, that they would understand, that they would consider the latter end. In other things, it says, if only they knew it was their end time. So the scripture is saying, for the year 5782, if only you were smart and knew that this was the end. Hey, we are smart. We've been following your word, Lord. We know it's the end. Thank you for letting me know. Okay? Now, I told you about numbers being in scripture because you have to know, please know this. Every number is measured out. Every number is perfect. The word of God is perfect in both word and numerical value. It's perfect. You understand? How can the word logos in the word of God, the word of God and virgin have the same numerical value? How is that? Because the word of God is the son of who? Of the virgin, right? But they have the same numerical. But the Bible is doing this all the time because it's like, I'm linking this. It's like your body. This can't work without this. So everything is linked. So you know who wrote the book because it's a living organism, the word of God. Everything has to be linked and make sense. So understand when I'm telling you this, the value of this scripture right here is 1661. Okay? Now, you got your notes in front of you? Are you on the second page? In John chapter 6, verse 39, the Greek phrase at the last day is numerical value 1661. So in Greek, it says 1661 means in the last day. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 29, it says, if only you knew it was your latter end. And they both have the same numerical value? Is that God just playing games? Or is he trying to tell us consistently, listen, listen to me. I'm telling you what year you're living in. You just went through 2020. You saw the world get shut down in front of your eyes. It was a worldwide judgment, just as it was in the days of Noah. It was a worldwide judgment. You just experienced one. You couldn't even go to Vegas. You could go to Vegas, sit on a corner and read a book like you're in a library in 2020. And you're like, this is a judgment upon the whole world, letting you know you're living in that day. We get to 2020 and it says, if only they knew it was they were living in the last day. If only they were wise and understood they're living in the latter end. Okay? Numerical value, 1661. You guys don't know, but I know. Olive, Vav, Olive is God, God on both sides and salvation in the middle. That's what it is. So God is telling you that this is when salvation comes from God. This is when it happens. And he's been telling us and showing us what is going on in the world, what they can do. Some people are like, oh my God, I'm not going to have a job. The whole thing was just a big mess. You're telling me if I don't, I'm not going to have a job. I'm like, oh man. I'm like, just pray. Yeah. Welcome to the flood. Yeah. You know what I mean? Just be glad you're on the ark.
Yeah.
But for one thing for sure, God is trying to let us know you're living in the day when the video game life is about to be over for you if you're born again.
Amen.
Okay? Amen. Here we go. Now check this out. So that's what he says, and both numerical values are the same. Now, let me tell you, watch this. Ah, watch this. He just brought me up. This is not Hebrew class, is the 11th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. When it's the end time, you can't write it like this. You got to write it like this. It has to come all the way down. Why? Because when Jesus Christ in the last days, he's coming down. What's the next letter after that? The next letter after that is Lamed, which goes up, which is how you say going up in Hebrew, Lamata. Okay, so God made the 11th letter to be the letter of judgment. This is the letter we're going to come down. So he's talking about this year, I'm coming down. Okay, 1661 times 11 is 11 times 151. Okay, It's 11 times 151. Let's see what 151 means, okay? 151 means, first of all, six, if you look at the page, it says 1661 means in the last day. Okay, so 11 times 151 is 1661, which is you're in the last day. 19, which is holiness, times 151 is what? The body of Jesus. Two times 151 is 302. What's that mean? The church, the iglesia. Is it just by chance they're all linked together and working like the body should work and that they're all talking about the same thing? I'm trying to explain something to you that has never been explained to the church before. The Word of God is a living organism. It is working together to tell you one story and to keep this story going and alive until God says it's over.
Amen.
Okay? So he's given you scripture and he's called me to do this. 151, Pastor Bennett was it was cut off a little bit, but it's for the thing. Gathering the waters. Okay, so 151 is the Hebrew for gathering the waters. Gathering the waters. Why is God gathering the waters? Because he's taking half the waters above the firmament. What's firmament? 777. Wait a minute, he's taking the waters to God? Isn't God 777? Yeah, the firmament above the sky is also 777. So I'm taking the what? What's the waters? People, nations, tongues. I'm taking people, nations, and tongues above the firmament to God? Yes. Because I put the word together to be an organism so you can see how it's all working together and telling the same story.
Yeah.
But notice and understand that God has to come down before he goes up.
Amen.
He's coming down to a cloud before he takes us up. But this is consistent throughout scripture.
Yeah.
So that you know, okay? So that means if he just comes down and somebody goes, this is the Christ, you should say, no, you're not.
Right.
I don't know what Christ you are, but the Christ I'm waiting for is coming down to a cloud to take me up.
Yeah.
I don't know where you came from, but you ain't Christ. And I keep trying to tell you guys, Kenneth Copeland believes in Jesus. Creflo Dollar believes in Jesus. But they believe in a Freemason Jesus who became a man and then became a God. So you think they believe in the same Jesus because they gave them a church and millions of dollars to run that fraud over God's people. And so you believe Creflo Dollar sent from God. And you believe that Kenneth Copeland sent from God. And I don't know a godly person that if he had 141 million wouldn't try to find some single mothers and some homeless people to give them a home and try to help people out. I don't know that. I don't understand that.
Amen.
So by living this lavish lifestyle, you should go, maybe he's not a real Christian. If money is his God, maybe we don't have the same God.
Right.
So we have to know and understand and wake up and see what's going on. We should be past Benny Hinn.
Right.
We should, the church should be like, we've studied so much, we don't even think about watching Benny Hinn.
Right.
Yet you got Christians. I'm going to a Benny Hinn concert next week. I thought you was born again. I love the Lord. You shouldn't be going to. But you.
Oh, wow.
But, which that means we're still not studying for ourselves. Our eyes still aren't open. We're not watching. God is about to come, right?
Yep.
And He's about to take you into glory. The whole world doesn't know about it, but you do. And a lot of people online, we're waiting. They're waiting for the rapture. Know why? They know something's coming. They believe the Bible.
Uh-huh.
It's a gang of people online going, the rapture's coming. They read the Bible. They know the plan.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's only a few nuts out there going, there'll be no rapture. Creflo, the church is not the bride of Christ. It's the body of Christ and not the bride. In the scriptures say, line upon line, precept upon precept, love your wife as your own body. Oh, so the wife and the body are one, right? So all you got to do is like, let's give him scripture, right? But people can lie to you if you haven't read it for yourself.
Amen.
Okay. Oh, the other thing. Let's go to Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57. Someone put me up the sign and said, you got 10 minutes. You've been talking quite a long time. Okay. Isaiah 57. Now, Isaiah 57 is the word asaph. Okay. Now, because this 151 word is one of the words that's 151. 151 means gathering of the water. 151 almost also means asaph, which means to gather, to take away, like picking fruit off of a tree. You understand? So where do we find the word asaph? In Isaiah 157. Let's read it. Verse 1. It says here, the righteous perish. Do righteous people perish? No, righteous people receive life.
No.
So did somebody interpret that word right? I put it on the page for you. Is it on the next page, Pastor Ben? Is it on page? Yes, on page 3. Look at it on page 3. Look at what they interpret as perished. It says the righteous avad or abad. What does that mean? Vanish. So here the scripture is saying the righteous vanish, and they put perish. So now, as an English reader who doesn't study, because I tell you, do you need Hebrew to understand the Bible? Not all of it, but you should know, you should be able to look up some words so you can make sure that what they're telling you is the same thing as what you do. Because you sitting up there going, well, I read in the Bible that if I call upon the name of the Lord, I'll be saved. So even if I'm living in the sin, I'm just going to yell out, Jesus! Well, you would be a fool, because the word called in the Greek means to take on someone's last name and marry them. That's what it means in the Greek. So they never said yell out Jesus. They said you got to take on his name and you got to live for him as you're being married to him. That's what the Greek called being calling on the name of the Lord. Okay, so it's good to look up words so you know what God meant. Okay, here we go. The righteous perish, or the righteous vanish, and no one takes it to heart. Merciful men, and it says kasad, which means saints, men who are saints are taken away. That's the word that is 151, okay? Which means to gather and to bring you up. The word is asaf. Merciful men, or the saints, are taken away to God. And it says, while no one considers that the righteous has been taken away, and it says from evil, but in the Hebrew it says from facing evil, from panim, from facing evil. God is coming to take the righteous out of the world. You will vanish so that you can be 151, you can be away from the face of evil. And so the Bible's always speaking to us. I created you for me. I created your personality for me. Every year, and I'm speaking to the younger people right now. In the church since we've started, we've always had a group of young people that do praise dance, they sing. And then when it comes 16, you go, oh my God, what happened to them? Because now it's like they don't want to come to church. They're arguing with their mama. They got a boyfriend. They're doing drugs. We got to go pick them up from the hotel room because they're in the hotel and demons are in the hotel room with them.
Yep.
And they're calling Sister Sharon. Sister Sharon, could you come get us? There's demons on the wall. What was y'all doing? A little mushrooms. So they go pick them up. Oh, it was so scary. What happened? Well, these guys took our bank cards because we went to the hotel with them. And then we were in a hotel. And we figured, well, since we're here, we might as well do the mushrooms. So then the demon showed up. And then we're like, didn't you used to do praise dance? Didn't you used to sing in a choir? So I'm trying to tell you guys, look, whether you're young or old, it doesn't matter. Satan is after your life.
Yes.
I'm not talking about your physical life, because that's going to end. He's after the life that extends beyond your physical life. He's after the life that extends to the life that God wants you to have, so you can see what he built for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. I'm going to prepare a place for you. He wants you to miss out on true life. Quicken me, Lord, so that your word can be established in heaven. Rapture me so that now this thing can be established. Because when we get raptured, it will be established. You go ahead and mock now. I will say on my way up, mock now. The word of God is speaking to us.
Amen.
And it's speaking to us in this year. Since 2020, it's been speaking to us.
Amen.
Look what can happen. Look how fast life can disappear. Look how your job you had all those years, you thought you were secure. Look how fast the enemy could just come around and just take that job. Look at that business that you built. Look at that. Satan just come and took that, right? Look at that whole world. You used to own a casino. You don't anymore because can't nobody go there. We took it.
Amen.
Everything's gone. And we like, oh my goodness. And it's happening around the whole world. You mean Satan could take everything in one day?
Yep.
Wait till the tribulation happens. Because that's what he wants, control of the whole world. And the Bible already told you he wants control of the whole world. So what are we doing? We're in our word. We're praising God. We're fighting sin. Some days you're winning, some days you're not, but you better keep fighting.
Amen.
You sit over here telling, I quit.
Amen.
I'm going to go back to Buddhism. At least they let you do what you want. Satan is always trying to get you away from Jesus because he knows that this produces true life. One day you'll be in heaven, right? And you'll be sitting on a balcony looking out, and your mansion will be behind you, and you'll be like your family members and friends and all, and y'all be laughing, and you'll be going, just think, I almost gave this all up. That would have been crazy, wouldn't it? And then the apocrypha says, on your way to heaven, guess what you get to see? Hell.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, woo! Did I miss? Look what I missed.
Woo!
Because they said, you go in seven stages. He says, those who go into heaven, you pass by those in torment.
Yep.
And those going to torment, they see the homes of the righteous.
Yes.
That's
crazy. That's crazy.
And so I'm trying to encourage you. Look, you have something. I don't care if you are a weak little wimpy Christian or a strong Christian. Keep being a Christian.
Yes.
Amen.
Keep confessing Jesus.
Amen.
Keep saying, I'm going to repent and I'm going to keep moving.
Yes.
You done fell down again. Yeah, I'm going to get up and I'm going to repent and I'm going to keep moving.
That's right.
Because I know as long as I stay on this track, at the end I get something. That's how you have to be. I give you guys a lot of numbers, and I'm sorry, it's like a calculus class sometime up in here. But you got to know, the Bible is real.
Yes,
Jesus is real.
Yes, it is.
Heaven is real.
Yes, it is.
This stuff is real.
Yes, it is.
Only thing that's not real is you in that body. Because the body's going back to dirt and the real you is going somewhere else.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
All right. Hallelujah.
Good word, Pastor. Good word. God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. I may be crazy. Hallelujah.